Hey everyone, welcome back to Huron County Author Talk, a podcast where a group of talented local authors share their insights on the remarkable, imaginative, and nuanced world of writing. I'm your host, Hamilton Baker of the Huron County Library, and I'm excited to bring you another episode in our show. So whether you're a fan, an aspiring author, or a reader interested in hearing more about this creative process, this show is for you. In this, the final episode of Season 1, I sat down with one of Huron County's local authors, Wendy Million, at the Goderich Library. In our interview, Wendy talks about her experiences with both self-publishing and traditional publishing, including how much self-publishing has transformed in the modern age of social media. She also talks about how she markets a book leading up to launch day, how she handles negative reviews, how she's improved as a writer, and much more. So, first question. How long have you been writing, and what kind of books do you write?
So I've always kind of written. I wrote as a little kid, like I wrote silly stories and whatever else, and then in high school I also wrote and took myself semi-seriously at that point. And then I went to university, didn't really write at all, got into teaching, didn't really write at all, and then we adopted our first daughter, and then I had a lot of evenings free, and so I had always kind of thought, oh, it would be fun to try and write a book, but it seemed like super impossible to do. But I had all this time, so I was like, I had an idea, and it had been percolating for like quite a few years at that point, and I just hadn't had the time and space to write it. So then I wrote that book. It was a young adult fantasy novel. And then I just kind of morphed from that into, I did some young adult contemporary, and then I ended up in romance is sort of primarily what I write now. So I kind of, I don't know, got my feet wet, I guess, in young adult fantasy and then young adult contemporary, because I teach high school. So it's just sort of like, I spend a lot of time with those people. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of morphed into romance, which I had always kind of read a lot as a kid. Or as a young adult, and then my mom was always really big into romance too, so it was just kind of like a link there as well. So
nice. Yeah. You said your first novel was a YA, right?
Yep.
YA fantasy. Did you send that off? Was that one you tried to get published, or you just wrote it and then kept moving on?
So I wrote it, and that was in 2013 that I wrote that, and then I did like nothing with it. Well, it's not that I did nothing with it. I joined critique circles. I joined like other sort of online forums and things and tried to figure out like how to make it better. But what I found really difficult with those groups is that you tend to go chapter by chapter. And what I really needed is for someone to read the whole thing and give me like basically a developmental edit. Like the basic writing mechanics, like I was already fairly secure on, but the whole plot development and character development piece, I think, is where I would have benefited from. But that's not really when you go into these critique circles. Most of the time you're doing chapter by chapter by chapter. And so it's a lot more difficult to get, you're getting very line-based comments, mostly, for the most part. So it wasn't really what I needed. Yeah, so I did that kind of stuff, and I didn't really do anything other than that until 2016. And at that point, I joined Wattpad. And then Wattpad, I joined it because I had this manuscript. I really hadn't really done anything with it. And I was like, if it's just going to sit here, I might as well like see if anyone else thinks it's any good. So I put it on Wattpad, and then from there, it got featured, and it got shortlisted for one of their major platform awards, and was fairly well received. I mean, I read it now and I cringe because I'm so far removed from where I was then. But at the time, like, I was really happy with how it went. So, and then that just kind of spiraled from there, all the other things that I did.
Right. So,
yeah.
What about when you were a kid and a teenager? Were you writing novels or just like...
Fan fiction, man.
Oh, fan fiction, right.
Yeah, New Kids on the Block.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was definitely very much like fan fiction. I wouldn't even say I was like a big New Kids on the Block fan, but it was something that my friends were really interested in too, you know? And so it was an easy way to get an audience. Like people would read the stuff that I wrote and found it interesting. And that's always nice to have that like feedback from your peers. So yeah, that was when I was probably grade like 8 or so when I was doing that. And then in high school, I wrote more like original material, but it was very angsty and teenagey and ball of wax.
Right. And I don't know much about like fan fiction. You pick, like, I know there's Harry Potter fan fiction, for instance. So did you like always do romance or fantasy, or like, is there certain genres in fan fiction, or it was just a wide swath of anything?
Yeah, I would say that it probably leaned more towards the romance adventure kind of kind of vibe, I would say, because they were always doing things, like going places and doing things and like having these obstacles that they had to overcome. But at the same time, it was mostly like this music group and my group of friends.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
yeah.
But so you've been kind of in the same vein, fantasy, romance, adventure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've been, I'm the same. I was writing historical fiction when I was a teenager. And I still am. So yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly common. You just stick in the genre you like, basically.
Yeah. I think it's where you feel most comfortable, maybe. And sometimes I wonder if romance is where I'll actually end up staying, because I really like romantic suspense. I wrote a 3-book romantic suspense series, and I really like that edge of your seat, like what's going to happen next kind of thrillery aspect to it. So I don't know. I might not stay in this lane forever, but this is where I am right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't predict the future.
Yeah. It's hard to know if I'll get bored with it, or if I'll just find different ways to come at it, or whatever. So yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many, you touched on it a bit, but how many books have you published in total as of today?
13.
13 total.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not all of them. Like, I didn't self-publish all of them. So like I have a 3-book series with a small press, and then Wattpad Books, which is the one where I have it coming out in June. My second book with them out in June, they have another one of my books. And then all the other ones I've self-published.
Okay, and it's late spring of 2023. In terms of the writing world, what are you focused on these days?
Currently, I am writing. I'm writing a couple of things at the moment. So I'm partially focused on my release for Mismatched, which comes out on June 13th. There's a lot of moving pieces happening around that in terms of promotion and interviews and promo opportunities and all kinds of things. And then I'm writing on Wattpad. I'm writing a werewolf story, because just for fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's super over the top and tropey and just like, I don't even care if it makes sense, kind of.
Right.
Just for fun. Which was my warning at the beginning of the book. Like, this may not make sense, but it's just fun for me.
Right.
So that, and then I'm also writing like a billionaire romance story. And that's a spinoff of one of the series that I already have out right now. So
the one that's coming out, Mismatched, in June, what's that one about?
So that one is about a woman named Tayla, who goes to a internationally known, very reputable, or appears very reputable matching service that is extremely expensive. And she ends up getting matched. You only get one match, and she ends up getting matched with the ex-boyfriend who broke her heart. So it's just all about them trying to figure out if there was a mistake that was made, or if this is an actual genuine match.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. Yeah.
It was fun to write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so in that book, if you had to pick one character, who is your favorite, and why would they be your favorite?
In Mismatched. Oh my God.
Is that a hard question?
It is kind of a hard question.
Yeah.
I can tell you that readers tend to like Simon's best friend, because he's very much the voice of reason. Like, he's the voice of reason in the text. And so he's basically stands in for the audience, right? Or the readers. He has all the things that probably someone reading it would want to say to Simon, who's making a lot of really questionable choices.
Right. Sorry, what's that character's name?
Yes. The one that readers tend to like, his name is Aaron.
Aaron.
Yeah, and then Simon is the male lead, and then Taylor is the female lead. And I would say I probably identify the most with Taylor, like that reluctance towards giving someone who has hurt you like a second chance. And then also she has this like desire to seek adventure, which is also like to travel and to see things. And that's also part of me as well. So I would say she reflects a bit of me in that sense and is maybe preferable to Simon, who struggles to be honest for a little while.
All right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And if you came across someone in the street and could only tell them one thing about this book, Mismatched, what would you tell them?
Basically, a woman went to a very expensive matchmaking service and ended up getting matched with an ex.
Right.
Like that's like the tagline. Kind of the tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would hopefully, that's the most interesting thing to tell someone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, switching gears a little bit. We touched on a bit earlier. You've experienced both traditional publishing and self-publishing. Did you always want to be traditionally published, or were you happy being self-published and then it just came along?
So I really wanted the validation that came with the traditional publishing part, but then I did the small press and did not love how that was run or organized. I learned a lot, some of it good. And so from there, I kind of decided that if I couldn't get a deal that was going to get me into bookstores all over the place, then I didn't want it. And so that's, and the other thing is like self-publishing in the last few years is really, especially with TikTok kind of taking off, it's really kind of transformed the landscape for self-publishing. Like, you can get super duper famous as a self-published person and make a lot of money. And I think in traditional publishing, that's more difficult because you're not in charge of as many aspects of it. And so you don't, you don't have as much control.
Right.
So that's the tricky part.
Just made me think of a question just as an aside. Do you think traditionally published, like the big five or big four, I think they're worried about that self-publishing is kind of taking off?
No,
they don't care.
Maybe. It's a slightly different audience, I would say. Like, I mean, some books cross over. So as an example, Icebreaker by Hannah Grace is a sort of a new adult romance novel. It is absolutely everywhere. Atria, I think, is the company that picked it up. They made it a New York Times bestseller. Like, it had already done really well on Amazon in the couple of months it had been out.
So she was self-published
originally. She was self-published. And then Atria bought the series. I think it's a 3-book series from her for, I've heard the figure, but I don't want to repeat it because it's like secondhand information, but for a lot of money anyway.
Right.
So they bought this 3-book series from her. That first one, they got it on the New York Times list. It's everywhere. Like, if you go to Walmart right now, it's there.
Okay.
So they've been doing this for years. Like, this has been happening since self-publishing kind of became a thing, a lucrative thing back in like 2010, 11, 12, 13, like somewhere around there, it started to kind of percolate and explode for some people. But they approach those people who do well and are like, we can give you this deal.
Right.
And so some people, like the person who wrote Icebreaker, opt to take the full deal. So she gave them, as far as I can tell, the majority of her rights. So like ebook, paperbacks, audio, who knows what else.
Right.
And then, but they also do other deals. So sometimes if someone takes off in self-publishing, then they'll do like a paperback only deal or like a print only deal. And so then they get those print rights and then they distribute like a special edition version of that particular hot book. And then they make bank off that, right? So it's already, the self-published person has already somehow gotten it hot through luck or money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the traditional publishing gets to get a book that has been edited to an extent. That extent varies depending on the person. And then they put a nice pretty cover on it, put it for sale. All these people are like, ooh, pretty cover. And then it takes off again. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So they maybe aren't so worried because they seem to scoop know if that's a good word, scoop up the self-published authors that do really well anyways, so then they're not so threatened.
They still have a finger in the pie, I would say.
Right.
Like, for a lot of the time, I would say it's fairly rare. I think, based on what I've heard, rumor, like circumstance, talking to various people,
mm-hmm.
that someone gets offered a trad deal and they don't take some aspect of it. Like, some of them might want to keep their ebook rights, but they'll give up their paperback rights or...
Right.
And some of what traditional publishers are willing to do, I think, is partially dependent on how big exactly you are. Mm-hmm. So someone I know had already sold off their audio rights and a publisher was interested, but because the audio rights had already gone to someone else, like, they didn't want to do the deal. Like, they wanted everything or they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that this particular writer just wasn't quite big enough yet,
right.
for them to be like, we'll just take your paperback rights. Like,
right.
That's fine with us.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it, there's a whole lot that goes into
mm-hmm.
all of it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, yeah, traditionally published, self-published, do you have a preference for one or the other?
Not like a hard preference, I don't think. I mean, I guess I lean a little bit more towards self-publishing only because I... the control is nice. Like, I can see the back end, so I know if ads are working, I know if books are selling, I know if a cover change has worked or if I've changed a blurb and that's worked, or if I ran a promo opportunity, I can see whether or not there were results of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're very reliant on your publisher to be transparent about those things. And I'm not saying that they aren't, but it's just a little bit trickier because usually the publishers publish wide. So they publish in all the retailers. So then some of them take quite a while to report back sales. So you don't get the same
mm-hmm.
sense of how you're doing all the time as you do on Amazon, in KU. Like, I can see the cash coming in. Like, I know where I'm at, how I'm doing, whether or not ads worked. I just tweaked some ads the other day and I like double man coming. I was like, great. Like, this is amazing.
Right.
But I don't know how long it'll stick, but I can see when it starts to decline. Right. So then if it starts to decline, then I go back to my ads and I'm like, all right, how do I change this to get it going again?
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of kickstart ads. I'm getting a lot better at it. So
that control is nice.
Yeah. And and it really feels like when you do something and you can see the results, it feels very gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I really found, particularly with my small press, that I felt like I was shouting into the void. I never had any idea of what was actually moving the needle, if anything was. I had no idea, not a clue. Mm-hmm. So I probably wasted a lot of time in things and in areas that yielded zero results because I couldn't tell. So it was like, why not? Why not do this? Why not do that? But now I'm a lot more like, so I know that that opportunity is only going to yield exposure, or I know that opportunity is going to get me sales, or I know this is going to be a combination of the two or whatever. So mm-hmm. I have a much better sense because I can see the money where my time is better spent.
Right.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that you would prefer, seeing positive results immediately.
Yeah. It's a lot better. And I honestly think it makes me better to work with my traditional publishers too, because I understand when they're trying to do something, what it is that they're hoping to get out of it. I mean, ideally, yes, always sales, but sometimes it really is just word of mouth exposure, getting those, you know, 6+ contacts with people so that they're more likely to consider purchasing or buying or whatever at some point, even if it's not this book.
Right.
Maybe they'll remember it the next one. Like, oh yeah, I've seen her around before. I'll grab that book.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know the long game and
mm-hmm.
all that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Which leads to the next question, I believe. Leading up to launch date, which you're kind of in that mode right now, leading up to launch date, what are all the things you do to market a book?
So there's graphics and promo that way.
And that's all online?
Yeah, all on social media for the most part. My publisher is putting out like videos and reels and TikToks and things that have like hooks and passages that are meant to be hooky to try and engage people on those platforms. This past Saturday, I went to Word on the Street in Toronto, where I was part of a panel and part of a book signing afterwards. Trad usually goes pretty far out. So like I went to the OLA conference that was like way back in February and I was signing ARCs there
mm-hmm.
with a view to try and get libraries and other booksellers to take an interest in it. And then, leading up to it, like I have a PR company that I work with beyond the PR that Wattpad Books does, because I do the self-publishing thing. And so I have a company that I've been working with for almost a year now, and I believe that they're helpful and that they know what they're talking about. And so I don't mind spending the money with them. So they have a bunch of stuff booked as well, like newsletter swaps, TikTok interview type things, real interview type things. What else do we have? Oh, pop-ins to other people's Facebook groups that have a similar type of writing style or genre to me. Mm-hmm. And then promoing ARCs in various different reader groups, giving away paperbacks to influencers and other people. And right. It just goes on and on.
Right. There's a lot of things. Do you find it takes a lot of your time, like doing all that sort of marketing and all that prep before it launches?
I think I've gotten used to it now, so I don't find it as overwhelming as I did when I first started doing it. So when I first started doing it, I know when I had my PR meeting with the company that I'm with, they shared the spreadsheet with me. And she's like, she was on the phone with me when I opened it. And she's like, don't freak out. She's like, not all of these are your responsibility. This is just like our master planning sheet of all the things we're going to do to try and get your name out there. And it's just like this document that has like all these things in it, like everything I mentioned is in that document there, but then they assign people to it, right? So this is so-and-so's responsibility, and then they highlight things that are my responsibility, a particular color, and then they have things that I'm supposed to join, like groups or giveaways or whatever that I need to join, or people I need to follow, or times I have to be certain places or do certain things. It's all in this master document. So then I just go in and look for my color and try to ignore all the things that are not my color.
Right.
And just do the things that are there for me.
So, wow.
Yeah.
And so the first time you saw that, was it like, whoa?
Well, the first time I saw it was like, thank God, I'm paying you a lot of money.
Oh, right.
You're doing all this. Like, right. Yes, this is what I was hoping for. Right. So yeah, the first time that I saw it, she expected me to be overwhelmed, but I was a bit more like, I'm paying a lot of money, like this.
You were relieved.
You should be doing all this. This is exactly what I want.
Right.
So yeah, it was a lot. It especially like the pop-ins to different groups and stuff, where you're giving stuff away or you're interacting with people or you're just trying to hype up your book. That can feel very salesy, like, and that's something to get used to. But I mean, if you're not selling, who is?
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how many books did you write before you published your first?
Okay. So, that's a hard question, actually, because I actually wrote quite a few books before my first published book was with the small press. So I had written...
You didn't self-publish before the small press?
No. Nope. Oh. That's how I knew I never wanted to do a small press. Oh,
that was your
again.
First one.
That was my first one. So then I was like, no, never again.
Right.
Like, what?
And then
what
you
is
went
this
self-publishing.
Malarkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had written Saving Us, When Stars Fall, Second Lanark, The Realms, The Wishing Tree, and another young adult contemporary. I can't remember the name of it right now. I had written six books before I got my first one published.
Did you try and get any of those published?
I wrote them, all of them, apart from my very first young adult fantasy. I wrote them all on Wattpad. So I did send out like maybe, I don't know, 10 query letters for The Realms around the time where I was debating about putting it on Wattpad in the first place. Because I was like, once it's on here, it's like out in the world and like I can't really take that step back. So
right.
I sent like 10 queries, didn't get any real like response. And then I was like, I could probably get better at writing. So then I was just like, if I don't start somewhere, I never really start at all. So then I just, yeah. And then I put it on Wattpad and I didn't try to do anything with any of those books. And to be honest, when I got my agent and got the small press, I still didn't feel like a very strong writer. Like that I could do better and more, and that I just needed someone to learn more. So,
right.
Yeah.
And did you? Like, after that happened, when you felt that way with your agent and the small press, like, yeah. Did you feel like something happened in, after that, that you got better?
So I think I learned a whole lot with my small press, and this was their strength for sure, was in copy edits. Because they made you go through this huge self-editing checklist before it ever went to the copy edits. So like I had to go through and look for, it was, I mean, I can't even tell you how many, like it was a huge list. And I had to do like a search for like any sort of filler words, like reached, felt, heard, saw, all those filler phrases. I had to do a search for them. I had to cut them all out. I couldn't keep them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then, oh, there were so many things. And then I had to look to see if I was saying, his hand reached for something, because your hand doesn't do that. Like, you do that.
You reach.
You reach.
Right.
So then I had to look for those, any that in there. So I think it made me a much more conscious writer through that 3-book series. Mm-hmm. But that's not, it's helpful and unhelpful all at the same time, because it slows you down.
Right.
When then, you're second guessing all the time. You're like,
oh, you see that. You're like, is that right?
Yeah. Or even like a sentence repetition. Like I couldn't start more than 2 sentences with the same word. So if I had, I did this, I did this, I did this, I had to figure out one of those couldn't stay an I. Right. So what one am I moving? What sentence am I changing?
Right. You got to change one of them.
Yeah. So it took a very long time to do those edits. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot.
Sounds like when, especially when you go, like when you're editing these days, you probably are better at editing now because you learned
those kind of strategies. Yeah, my problem is that I edit as I write. Like I'm very much a, like I write it and then the next day I read over what I wrote the day before, edit that, and then I move on.
Okay.
So, and I'm a slower writer because of it, because I'm paranoid about doing all these things that I now know I should not do. So.
Well, it's probably, I mean, just to talk about myself, because I do it, at least I've always done it. I don't do that. I just write, you know, page one on this day.
Yeah.
I wrote 10 pages. Next day, I just go to page 11. Like, I just keep going for the first draft. But, oh, man, the amount of editing that it takes after you do it that way is extensive.
Yeah.
Because you didn't really care about that in the first draft.
Yeah.
So you, and which, right, you did it with the small press. You had to go through and find all those little things.
Yeah, yeah.
So editing as you go is not necessarily a bad thing. It just, like you say, slows you down on the first draft.
Yeah, yeah. And it might make it, it's so hard to know because this is the only process I know, right? So it might make a difference in the back end, like the idea that I've already sort of pre-edited a lot of it, but it definitely feels like I'm more in my head than I used to be. I used to just write it.
Right.
And now I'm like, does this make sense?
Now you're trying to, you're kind of,
the best way to write that?
Yeah. You're thinking about editorial stuff.
How else could I do that? Yeah. And it is 100% editorial. And I think that even then got compounded when I got picked up by Wattpad Books and I had my first developmental edit, which was numerous pages in length and covered so many things. So then on top of the line level stuff, then you have to add in the character arcs and like motivations and conflict and all these things that naturally I was doing, but now I'm like, having seen how it could get edited, like should my character be doing this right now? Like is it too early for them to be doing this or saying this or whatever? But then the other side of it is I now know, having had 2 different editors at Wattpad Books, that no 2 people edit the same.
Okay.
So it's, you can't really try and second guess what someone else is going to come in and think about your book.
Right. So it sounds like there's probably no perfect way, but depending on who your editor is, there's a perfect way for them maybe, but not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many stories have you started and never finished the first draft?
3.
You know which ones?
Yeah.
Were they longer ago, more recent?
So one was the 3rd book in my young adult fantasy series.
Okay.
And part of that was because I had gotten a fair number of followers on Wattpad, and it just didn't, the first book did really well and the second book did reasonably well. And then I took a long time to come back to the 3rd one because I had started writing romance. So I'd lost a lot of the audience that was associated with that series. And a lot of my romance readers weren't really into young adult fantasy, so I wasn't getting the readership that I'd gotten for the other ones. Mm-hmm. So then I was kind of not motivated to really keep going with it because I was like, well, there's only like a handful of people reading this anyways compared to my other one where I've got hundreds of people reading it. Like, why would I write this one for these 10 people when I can write for these hundreds of people over here?
Right.
So that's why I stopped that one. And it's the same. I had a young adult contemporary story that I wrote. I'm like, I have it plotted out, the last 10 chapters, and I just haven't written them.
Okay.
So there's that one. And then... oh, and then the third one, I haven't really started it, but like I had a rough outline for it. And then I had written it in third person past, and then I decided I didn't really want to write in third person past anymore. Oh,
so, right.
So I stopped writing that one as well. I think that's it.
So out of those, is there one that you feel like that one someday should become published? Like it's a manuscript lying there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that one day or none of them?
So the third one, the one in third person past tense, I think I'm going to rewrite that whole series into first person. Mm-hmm. So if I do that, then I'll finish that last book as well. Because I have 3 out of 4 books in that series written, but they're all written in third person past tense. And I just was like, so done with that.
Right.
So then I never finished the fourth book. So that's, yeah.
But yeah, so if you do it again, you could do it first person, you said.
Yeah, yeah. Then... I'd rewrite it first person and then publish those. Because they've actually been edited by I actually hired an editor and had 2 out of the 3 professionally edited. Mm-hmm. So I know the story's good and I know the writing is good enough, but I just... can't be bothered right
done
now.
With it. Third person. Third person past.
Yep. So.
Well, that's fine.
Yep.
Whatever works for you now, right?
Someday I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
So.
How do you come up with the titles of your books?
I actually really hate titles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's my least favorite. That and the blurb. Sometimes I like blurbs. It depends on what the storyline is. But, yeah, I don't really like titles. Sometimes I let my readers on Wattpad give me title suggestions. Sometimes I change the title. Interestingly enough, for both When Stars Fall, which was published by Wattpad Books, and Mismatched, they kept the title that I gave it. Uh-huh. So obviously they were good enough or marketable enough for them, but it's not my favorite thing to do. I don't.
Do you have a process? Like, I had a process. How do I figure out which title to pick?
So sometimes it comes out of like a line of dialogue or... conversation between characters. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I try to figure out like what the wound is or what the weight is that a character is carrying and see if I can reflect that somehow in the title.
Okay.
And then for the series, you try and make sure that the titles kind of make sense, right? Together. Mm-hmm. So then that's the other part of it is like, I could really love a particular idea for book one, but then if it's not going to have the same branding or be able to have the same branding as the other ones, then I have to rethink it because they all have to kind of make sense together.
They gotta connect together somehow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Like Mismatched, is it, maybe you said this, is it part of the series?
It's a standalone.
It's not part of a series.
No.
Okay. I was thinking if it was part of a series, the other one would be Miss something else.
No.
And Miss.
No.
But it's just a standalone.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Where do you find inspiration for your books, or is it not about inspiration for you?
Well, it depends. So the young adult fantasy that I originally wrote, I had just had snippets of that story kind of percolating, circulating in my mind for probably 15 years before I actually wrote it. And then for When Stars Fall, which is about a celebrity couple... who's like super famous as a couple, but he's a drug addict, like a very, very heavily addicted drug addict. Mm-hmm. And their relationship kind of falls apart and then they don't speak for like 10 years. And then he tracks her down again later. And that had kind of also been percolating in my head for quite a long time. So some of them are just ideas that have kind of been there in my brain in one form or another that I just haven't quite figured out how to tell that story. Mm-hmm. And then other times I like get something from the news or like Mismatched came out of a short story prompt. It was like the prompt was like, you go on a dating app and get matched with an ex-boyfriend. Like right. that was the prompt, right? So, and then I was like, how can I raise the stakes on this? So she spends a lot of money. She only gets one match, right?
Right.
She thought he was going to propose on the night that they broke up, right? So just like, how bad can I make it?
And the then, stakes, yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, how do you unravel that, right? So, but yeah, I would say inspiration comes from all over the place. And it doesn't always have to come really from anywhere. Sometimes a character just sort of appears and then you try to figure out what situation to put them in that'll get them where you need them to go.
Right.
So, yeah.
So there's lots of different ways.
For Yeah.
Which is probably handy.
Yeah. I'm never really short of ideas, just time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. What is one of the biggest challenges you've faced as a writer?
I would say the marketing. Like marketing is 100% the difficult part. I can write the book. I can edit the book. I can read someone's editorial notes and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I would say marketing, closely followed by reading crappy reviews. Those are like my two things. Marketing is just difficult because it's constantly changing or shifting. Like some things you can kind of are a little bit evergreen, and other things like TikTok is like a whole algorithm and luck a little bit. Whereas Facebook ads is a lot more about figuring out how to do it and then doing it consistently. So all of which is helpful when you can see the back end, so you know what's working and what's not working.
Right.
And then, yeah, the reviews thing is just remembering that not every book is for everybody.
Right. When you see those bad reviews on a book, it's like, that has to be tough.
Not every book is for everybody. I've had lots of, and it's good to remind myself that I've had lots of books that people have loved, really, really loved. And I've picked it up and thought, no.
you don't even like it?
I don't, whatever, for whatever reason, the book just doesn't resonate with me. I don't like it, how it's written or whatever, right? So we used to, when I worked at Appleby College and in Oakville, the English department is really big, and we would just sit in the department talking about books we had read, right? And it was the number of opinions on books. It was very, very rare for everyone in the room to be like, that was a good book.
So some people liked it and some people didn't.
Yeah, and some people were indifferent. They were just like, I read it. It was okay. I'll probably have forgotten about it in 2 weeks. Like, so, and other people were like, it was transformative for me. Like, I will never forget this book. And then other people were like, I would set this book on fire if I could.
Right.
So like, there's just this wide range of opinions about,
the exact same words.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like something resonates, something doesn't. And so it's just good to remember that, you know, not everybody has to love it, and it just means that they're not your ideal reader.
Well, because thinking about it, even the greatest books ever written, there are people that don't like them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I don't care how good the book is, somebody's not going
to
like it.
Yeah. And if you went to Goodreads for your absolute favorite book, the one that you could read 1,000 times again and again, there would be somebody there with a trashy 1-star review and just absolutely eviscerating that book.
Right.
And that's how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to remember for sure, that some people are going to hate every book.
Yeah. And then when you click on their profile and you check their Goodreads average and you're like, your Goodreads average is a 2. Do you like reading?
They just hate all books, basically. Yes. Yeah. Is writing predominantly a pleasure for you, a struggle, or something in between?
It's become a job. So it used to be a pleasure. So it used to be something that I did as like for fun and because it was easy and I enjoyed it. And at some point in the last couple of years, well, probably when I started self-publishing, it became a job.
Right.
So it's very much like put your butt in the seat, get the words done, because the book's not going to produce itself, sadly.
Yeah.
So it's a job now.
Is it a struggle though, or is it just, I have to do this?
Some days it's a struggle. Like, I don't know how you find it, but for me, anything that's stressful makes it hard for me to write. So if I'm stressed about something else, it's very difficult for me to get words on a page. But if it's like a Saturday afternoon and I'm sitting in my gazebo and the wind is blowing and it's just this lovely day, I can write thousands of words.
Right.
But then I might not write again for 5 or 6 days because while I wrote those thousands of words, I didn't do the laundry. I didn't do something for my kids. I didn't, you know, do some of my work that I needed for my job or my other job or whatever. So, yeah, it's, I would say for me, it's like peaks and valleys.
I haven't written a first draft. I guess to me, it's almost two different worlds. Like editing and writing the first draft, are, they feel different.
Yep.
To me, writing is the first draft and editing is what comes after. So I've been editing for 5 years now. So I kind of forget what it's like to just write. I want to get back to that at some point.
Yeah.
I'm just writing a new story. Because I think I could write regardless of stress or not. Like I just got into this mode of just every day, most days, at least 15 minutes a day. And it was just kind of automatic, no matter what was happening in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been 5 years, so I'll have to see that that's still true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say that the whole, like, finding it stressful and not being able to write is a relatively new thing for me. Like, when I first started writing, I used to say it was like a faucet. I could turn it off and on. Like, it was really easy to just sit down and write. But then I think part of it is because I've become so much more conscious of all those other pieces on the, like, that I know come after that, that I'm trying to anticipate and, like, consider whatever. So it's not relaxing to write anymore. It's also a little bit stressful because I know that I'm going to need to edit it and that I'll need to fix things and that not everything's going to go together perfectly.
Right.
And I need to let go of that control piece, I think, a little bit to find writing not so involving sometimes.
Sounds like it's some a bit of a case of ignorance is bliss.
I would, well, for sure. Right? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Because I haven't experienced that and maybe that will, right, as I get down that road more.
Yeah.
When I go to write, it won't be quite as, I guess, enjoyable or as, as free-flowing as it was.
Because
I know all the stuff now that comes later like you do.
Yeah. Yeah, because those first books just like, it's easy. Like, just write it.
It's just writing basically at that point.
Yeah, it didn't matter if it fit together or if there were holes or the character arc worked. Didn't matter. It's fine.
It was just wrote it. Yeah.
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 So.
What other authors are you friends with and how have they helped you become a better writer?
So I'm friends with quite a few authors on Wattpad. I would say I'm starting to develop friendships with more trad focused and indie focused writers, but my closest, like the people that I rely on the most for like feedback or even just to shoot them a message and be like, have you seen the Amazon top 100? Like, what is going on here?
Right.
So, yeah. So I have a few friends who I send those types of messages to or who I run a cover past because I am not like aesthetic like that. Like my brain doesn't work like that. A cover is a cover is a cover. I know what's pretty, but I don't necessarily know what sells.
Right.
And those are not always the exact same thing. So I do run things past them. But I would say that outside circle is still developing for me.
Gotcha. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Because I think if I went back and told myself anything, it would change everything.
Right.
Like, it's that, like, butterfly effect, right? So if I went back to my high school self and was like, don't stop writing. Well, I mean, I stopped writing for, like, 15 years, basically, right? Kind of in the middle there. And if I had kept writing, because I know how obsessive I can get about it, I don't know what I would have missed out on as a result. Like in that life experience that I had in those 15 years where I wasn't like paranoid about getting the words in and sitting at the computer and doing whatever. So I don't know if I would give my younger self any advice. I think it just kind of went how it was supposed to go.
Right. So if you went and met your younger self, you're just not saying anything.
No, I don't think I would say, you know, eventually you're going to self-publish and it'll be a whole different world and a different market. Because the other thing is like, if you really think about that, if your brain like kind of can get wrapped around it, like my sort of 17-year-old self, like Amazon, self-publishing, being able to publish your own book in any sort of form and then have other people around the world read it. Ebooks, even foreign concept.
Right.
Like, how would you even explain any of that
to
my 17-year-old self? I would have been like, you, need to go back to the place where you right. came from.
Yeah, yeah, the strange world that you're from.
Yes,
yeah.
that is yeah. not a reality that we live in.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would, because I think I was a happy enough writer, like when I was writing. And then I think I probably stopped writing because I was too busy in some ways living, like getting right. that life experience that you need to infuse your books and to create empathetic characters and different experiences and so forth. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So yeah, like you said, where it happened the way it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good answer.
What is the best money you ever spent as a writer?
Facebook ads.
Yeah. Facebook ads.
Yes. That and covers. Like your cover is a huge, 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 huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would never skimp on a cover and, Facebook ads. Like once you actually have a few books out, Facebook ads.
And so Facebook ads, it's not your own personal page, or is it?
So you run it off your page. So I have a page like author Wendy Million, and then I run the ads off that page.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So then it ends up being like in the sides and then in your feed and then Facebook stories and all that stuff. So
does Wattpad, speaking about your covers being important,
yeah.
does Wattpad just do the covers for you? Like they just say, okay, we'll handle the cover.
So for my, both of the ones that I've written with them in mind. So When Stars Fall was the first one I did with them. They only have the ebook rights. So they did the ebook cover, but I did the paperback cover. So the two of them don't match, which is fine in romance. They have this whole like discrete cover thing that's been going on for a little while now. So my cover for When Stars Fall it looks kind of romancy, but it also looks sort of women's fictiony, like the way that it is, because there's no couple on it. It's more like objects on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mismatched cover, they sent me three cover ideas, three mock-ups, and then they asked for my opinion and said, we will consider your opinion, but it is not the final say on
yeah.
this, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, I had the yellow one, the one that we went with, and then there were two other versions of the cover that my editor was like, I kind of wonder if we should go with one of these two versions or whatever. And I was like, for me, immediately I'm drawn to the yellow. Like, that's just like where my eye goes naturally. I feel like it's really bright and fun and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I understand that my opinion is not the only one, because then they then take it to marketing and then they then take it to one of the bookstores that they want to get it into and get their opinion on which one they think would look best on their shelves or would sell the most copies based on the sales stats that they have and whatever. So then the yellow one came out on top. Like everyone liked that one the best, but everyone that I showed it to when it was supposed to still just be me, like my husband.
Right. Yeah.
My writer friends, my two writer friends that I show everything to.
Mm-hmm.
When I showed all of them, they were all immediately like the yellow. Like the yellow is the one. So I was like, well, these two are my market. This guy over here, my husband, not my market, but immediately he's drawn to it. So it kind of works for both, right?
Right. So in that case, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Everybody liked the yellow one.
Yeah, it felt obvious to me. I was really glad when they came back and said that that was the one they were going with. And then it got huge traction on NetGalley in terms of people asking to review and stuff just off the cover.
Oh, nice.
A bunch of my reviews are like, I love the cover, and so I requested to review it, but I never read Second Chance Romance. I'm like, great, this is gonna go well.
Yeah, nice.
I hate Second Chance Romance, but I love your cover.
Right.
2 stars.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How long on average does it take you to write a book?
So I used to be able to write it in probably about 3 months. I could write a book. Mm-hmm. Now I'm probably more like four to five months, depending on how busy I am.
Okay.
So.
And that's the first draft. I guess we were talking earlier about first draft, you do edit kind of as you're going.
Yes.
So that's that process takes 4 or 5 months.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then from there, I figure out what kind of editing I think it needs. And then I send it off to whoever I think I need help from. Or if it's Wattpad Books, then I send it to them. And then they decide, because it's not because Mismatch is a standalone, then they have to decide on my next work, like if they want it or not, and then
there. So I guess I'm just thinking about even just the life of one book, mm-hmm. from first word you've written on it to launch day. Like, so Mismatched. When did you start writing that? Like, it's coming out in June.
I started writing it in 2020. So I started writing it just before the pandemic hit. Oh, like, really? February, because there was a line in my book, and I can't remember what it said exactly, but it was a simile, and it was comparing something to a pandemic.
So you started February. Oh, it was right
February,
before.
February 2020. So right before the whole thing like exploded, right? So I had a simile in there that was like something was compared to a pandemic. And my editor, when she went through it, was like, we're going to need to change this.
Right. Yeah. Because at that point, yeah.
Fair. Because in February, I didn't know it was going to actually change the world for like a number of years, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
But yeah.
So it's basically been from the day you started it.
Yep.
February, when it's sometime in February, it's been over, it'll be over 3 years between that and release day.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that typical? 3 years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so they have a book that they're reading that I just finished writing. And it took me about 6 months to write it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would anticipate that if they decide to pick it up, that it will get published like 2 years from now.
Okay.
So it'll probably be about 3 years in total.
Right.
Again. Yeah. But if it was a series that they picked up, so the book that they're reading right now is actually the second book in a 2-book series. So if they did decide they wanted the first book and the second book, because they're interconnected standalones, like it's two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decided they wanted both those books, then usually what they try to do is release one the 1 year and then one the year following.
Okay.
Just to keep some kind of like momentum for the series and for the author. But I don't know if they're going to take both books or if they'll, I don't know. We'll see.
Do you believe in writer's block?
I do believe you can get stuck, but I do believe you can get over it. So, and usually for me, if I'm stuck, it's often that my subconscious just hasn't figured it out yet. So I'll go for a run or a long drive or I'll go swimming or whatever. And it'll just start working itself out in the background. And then I'll get that I get and I sit down and I'm like, oh, now I know where I'm supposed to go. And then I go from there. And sometimes getting stuck is because I've made a wrong turn somewhere. So it's realizing that a chapter ago, I had them go somewhere or do something, but it doesn't actually serve characters or plot or where I want to go or what I want to do. So then sometimes I just delete it, or sometimes I cut it and put it in a different document in case I decide that actually that scene belongs.
Right.
5 chapters from now, it makes more sense. And so then I just slot it in there.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's usually why I get stuck, is something happened that probably shouldn't be there. Or,
Or I just haven't quite figured out, like I know where I want to go, but I haven't quite figured out the beats to get me there. So then it's a matter of like, well, what needs to, if I know the characters need to end up here, like what has to happen between here and there to get me there? I usually get stuck in the middle too. It's always the middle.
Yeah, I feel like the middle is the toughest part to get through, because, you know, the opening, you're getting people excited. At least for me, I'm the same way. The middle is the toughest to, it's kind of, it can feel like a slog sometimes.
Yeah, I get bored because I already know where it's going to go. Like,
oh, could be.
I have a fairly good idea of how I'm going to get there.
Right.
And then I'm just like, if it could just like write itself at this point, that would be great.
Like, these like 10 or 15 or whatever chapters just write themselves in the middle.
Chat GPT, write my book.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I was just thinking, I've never had my book, like when I start it, and even when I'm in the middle, I don't know exactly how, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, I never know how it's going to end. And actually it's kind of funny. The book I'm working on now, I've almost been 7 years. I had the idea while I was writing the first draft that basically the big climactic scene at the end would be interrupted by dragons attacking out of nowhere. There's no dragons in the book before that. Mm-hmm. So I had this, I thought, because, you know, dragons are cool.
And yep.
I thought it'd be
so cool.
Super cool.
Yep.
And then I finished it. I had Avery read it. I had my mom read it. Avery read it first, and she said, "That is the worst way to end the book. It's so stupid. Like, it just tore it apart." And my mom, she was a little bit nicer about it, but she was like, "Yeah, you got to change that."
Yeah. I've had a few where I've had, where I've kind of changed what I thought I was going to do. Like in my most recent one, the one that Wattpad Books is reading right now, I originally thought that the one character was going to end up going overseas for a reason that makes sense to the text. But then by the time I got to that point, I was like, I don't think he'd leave. Like, I don't think he would. At this point, like,
it didn't make sense for that
character. Yeah, they had gotten so close, and he knows he's got issues that he has to resolve. Like, I don't think he would leave. I think that there's a break that needs to happen, but I don't think he would leave. So then it's, yeah, then trying to figure out what makes sense
for that character. I feel like I've run into that too, where maybe even the middle, where I thought it was going this way, but as I'm writing the character, it's like, I can't think of a specific example, but yeah, that kind of idea where my initial idea of this character doing this doesn't even make sense now.
Yeah. The character's grown or changed or developed in a way.
And in the meantime, they've changed, and it's like, it doesn't make sense for them to do that now. Yeah. I got to rethink that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My character would never do that now. Right. What was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Huron County Author Talk with your host, Hamilton Baker. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Wendy as much as I did. If you'd like to purchase one of her books, you can find them at local bookstores, or you can order them online through Amazon. Three of her books are also available for borrowing at the library. Visit HuronCountyLibrary.ca to place a hold today. This episode concludes Season 1 of Huron County Author Talk. After a short break, Season 2 will begin sometime in August. Keep an eye on our website or Spotify page for the release of Episode 1 of Season 2. The music on this program is Echo by Alan McKellis. As always, thanks for listening.